Carolina, down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide, roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me. Carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. Still to come, Dick Brubaker in about an hour, and in about 2 hours, the official Democrat response of the program. You get Parker Griffith. I know y'all love him. Maybe he can help me figure out what to do to make this George Santos situation better for you, those of you that are of the left or center persuasion. Joining us now on the line, very pleased, a friend of mine, and always great to this program, but he represents Tallapoosa County over there, Alexander Cityway, State Representative Ed Oliver on the line with us. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Martin.
Well, thanks for making time for us. We really do appreciate it. I hear you stirred the pot, if you will, over the over the holiday. We're all supposed to be drinking eggnog and singing Christmas carols. You have raised the temperature of our good friend Bill Britt, Alabama political reporter. Critical race theory, he doesn't like how you categorized it on Phil Williams' show, but I want to give you the opportunity to kind of respond to some of it. He's got a piece that really, really got a lot of eyeballs, for better or for worse. But what do you make of his take?
Well, I'm one of those people that I believe in some things, and I don't know if he does, but I will say this, that if Bill Britt's against something I'm for, that means it's probably a pretty good thing I'm working on.
Well, consider it a merit badge, I guess.
I hate to be so flippant about something like that, but if I can get the left stirred up, it means I've touched a nerve, and it means it's something that's important to them. And so, I mean, it is a good barometer that we are on the right track and doing the right thing.
Well, and let's kind of, I guess the part they took issue with, he and his colleague Josh Moon, you said on Phil Williams' show, the reason the left wants to push CRT amongst little kids is simply they want to sexualize them, they want to radicalize them at an early age to make them manage pure and simple. So really, I guess the question is the sexualized part, and that I don't know why they are going out on a limb here for CRT, but that particular part of your comments they took umbrage with.
Well, and that's fine, and I understand that that's it might strike a nerve with them. But CRT, in brief, you know, we know it's an academic legal framework, so I guess from their frame of mind, that's a long stretch. But it denotes that systemic racism is a part of American society. The left has gone on to expand that. No longer is it just race, it's sexual identity as well. So when I made that statement, don't think for a second that sexualization is not part of, and racialization is not part of their agenda.
Well, here's what you often hear from these guys. When you bring up CRT, when you do these bans, it's not. It's like a solution chasing a problem, but really your ultimate goal is just to get votes. And I've never understood that claim, because it's not like a lot of you have a lot of problems winning re-election. It's not like you're sitting here, you just had an election a month and a half ago, and you're worried about 2026 or something. So I'm going to put in this. And so that is kind of the go-to response for a lot of these guys.
Well, they just hate Republicans, basically, and I don't think it matters what we do. Is if we do anything that looks like Republican legislation, whether it's school choice or party registration, they're not going to like it.
Well, and so you think this thing, you're really going to get some movement on it, this new quadrennium. It's eluded you in the past, but I think it's it seems like an issue where you got enough wind in your sails to get it over the finish line.
Well, then last year, of course, we passed it in the House. We had some trouble with it in committee because it we wanted to make sure that people understood it. So there were three committee hearings, not including one we had just for the sake of people to come and learn and make arguments and just feel each other out, different groups that were for and against. This session, it will not be like that at all. We'll have much more time. And ultimately, after we passed in the House last year, we just ran out of time with it in the Senate. And we had other good competing bills. So I expect it to pass pretty much early in the session this year.
Yeah, and, you know, the opposition's always said, well, this isn't be a tit hauling at that level. But, Representative, I am skeptical of what's going on in public schools. I'm sure you are, too. And you have some, you know, some anecdotal evidence that while that may not be an official part of any curriculum, that there's still things to get taught in the classroom setting that aren't necessarily, you know, part of the syllabus or whatever the teaching plan they give out or put out at the beginning of the year.
Well, and let me say this. I am pro-teacher and pro-school, and we have excellent public schools in my district. You know, I carry part of Lee County now, which has one of the finest high schools in the state. We've got excellent school systems. We have a city school system and a county school system in Tallapoosa County. All are great schools. I would tell you that I have worked with teachers. I'm pro-teacher. The center of gravity for all politics in rural Alabama, any politician would tell you, if he knows what he's doing, that the school is pretty much ground zero for everything that you do. So I support my schools. I support my teachers. And this legislation in no way is a ding on my teachers. This is an effort to try to help them and give them guidance in the classroom. And, you know, you look at the teachers' organizations that represent teachers. I only have one out of many that has voiced any opposition to this bill at all. And it's a tiny one. So I don't understand why there's so much leftist, and I hate to use that term because it paints everybody with a broad brush, but the left tends to, in their online publications, to go after anti-CRT legislation like it's some boogie. Man, I don't get that.
Well, that's the confusing thing, right? So if this isn't a problem, if there's nothing going on here with critical race theory in public schools, K through 12 or otherwise, or wherever this will be applicable, then what harm does it do in just going ahead and passing it? And as if there is a finite amount of time and resources of the Alabama legislature to spend on this, and we could be worried about something else, is what they will tell you. But they know that that's not how the legislature works in Alabama. These are smart people. Why? That's the, I guess for me, the confusion is, why are they so opposed to it if it's, as they say, not a problem?
Well, my answer to that would be that your journalists from the left are just oversimplifying the past 300 years of American history. And they do that to suit their own political ideologies. And I think that's the easiest way to sum up the opposition. You know, 1619 Project, post-George Floyd, the New York Times, which all the news is fit to print, if you believe that. You know, if you look at the false premises that the 1619 Project makes, and that's sort of the mantra of the left, you know, that you know, slavery built America, and you know, Lincoln was a bad guy and opposed black equality, and 1619's built on truths and it serves as a metaphor for the left. I think that's our challenge there. This is their mantra they want to go forward with, and it ultimately boils down to reparations and wealth redistribution and all these other wonderful Marxist principles. Just a short little take, and I could go for hours, but I promise you I won't. Jeff, I want the public to know that this is an important bill. It gives the teachers the tools to work in their classroom. It provides guidance, and that's something our bill was missing before. We don't want teachers to get in trouble accidentally or anything like that. So we've added some language to the bill to protect teachers. And the statute will say that knowingly, intentionally, or recklessly, and that we could determine a frame of mind of some teacher that got in trouble. So we're taking some steps to make this a practical piece of legislation that's helpful to teachers.
All right. There's no guidance on any of this right now. It is, like I said, we don't know. I think what the left does is they get the proper noun definition of critical race theory, and they conflate it with all these, you know, what people think of as critical race theory, and you know, 1619 Project or other, as y'all called them, divisive concepts or whatever, that you see those, and they're not the same, right? One is a textbook theory that, yeah, it really is, but then what you're trying to get at is not just CRT, but kind of the whole big picture of what critical race theory by a definition is, and it's these divisive concepts that are all throughout Alabama government.
Sure. I'm absolutely fascinated that it's gone from race to gender, that it's becoming more inclusive, for lack of a better word to use. We're actually using gender fluidity as one of the causes for CRT teaching in school. I'm absolutely amazed. Anything that's right is wrong, and the world is just upside down. And that seems to be the message from the left.
Well, that's the way they're approaching it. And they accuse the right of making it a hot button for whatever, to suit their own, to suit their own agenda, to suit their own politics, whatever. That it's just all a political gesture to give Republicans a hand up. But I would argue it looks to me, when you watch this and you watch these guys talk about it, it gives Democrats something to be against, something to mock Republicans about, something to talk about how this is just shameless pandering or whatever. That in some ways, it's Democrats that are really using this to their advantage, or trying to, that is.
They are, Jeff, and I would say this, if we just quiet down all the noise, approach this from a grown-up standpoint, then I don't think that the two sides would not be able to discuss these issues. I do think that in a school system like the ones I represent, there is no place for the teaching of the banned concepts. So then, well, that's just my take. There are other people that would disagree.
And lastly, on this whole topic here, Representative, it's not like you just invented this out of thin air. There are people concerned about this, right? I assume that there are really people that are genuinely concerned about what's going on. And maybe they get it from national media or national conservative media or whatever. But that doesn't change the fact that they are concerned about it, and they expect their representatives in Montgomery to address it.
Absolutely. And out of 1,300 bills, I don't know if you're aware, but most of my time is spent in pre-hospital health care, helping rural medicine, that sort of thing. So this is not the thing that eats up my entire legislative session. This is one of 1,300 bills that we will take up this legislative session.
But you are hearing from constituents, I assume. This is something, and you do have, well, I think you have a family member involved in higher ed, but you are aware, and that this is not just, it's not like it's never happened in Alabama. There is the potential there, and it is happening in other places.
40, I think, according to our caucus, there are 40 other pieces of legislation, 40 other states that have already enacted the various types of legislation across the country. And of course, the goal is that pardon me for a second, because I'm having to read a note here. Oliver's bill joins more than 40 others already enacted across the country that seek to combat the spread of controversial and fringe interpretations of historical events and long accepted cultural icons through public institutions. Well, that pretty much sums it up there, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's like obviously there are people that are concerned about it, and this is something. This isn't like your wholesale changing the public education K through 12 system in Alabama. You're just saying we're not going to deal with this in public schools. Let's stick to math. Let's stick to getting third graders up to reading at a third grade level so they could go to the fourth grade. All of that should take precedent over this anyway. Don't waste time with this. We don't need these divisive concepts taught.
I agree. It's one more impediment to teaching, and I won't share with you all the things I hear from teachers, but I talk to teachers on a regular basis, and there are some challenges in the classroom that make it very difficult for them to do their jobs. And I would like very much to see the legislature help any way we can. Unfortunately, there are a lot of things I don't know if we can legislate that affect education, and it's not just money. There are all sorts of factors that affect education in this state. This is just one thing we're trying to address.
Yeah, there's not a government solution to every problem. You know, there's got to be something. There's got to be changes in the culture. But for now, you just like you said, there's not some bill you could draft that's going to turn around some of those situations.
No, and one thing about education in this state, you hear all these doom and gloom stories. We've got a lot of great schools in this state that do an excellent job, and they prepare kids for the future. If you look at the 2022 list of failing schools, almost all of them, virtually all of them, are in Democratic areas. So, you know, what do you say? How do you address that?
Right. And you can't, there's only so much the legislature can do. You got to hope that local school boards, I suppose, have more buy-in.
It boils down to parents and communities and teachers and school boards and parent-teacher organizations. They're just a whole list of folks that need to be involved in the education of children.
Representative, we got to leave it there. It has been a pleasure. Thanks for making time for us this morning.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And if anybody would like to know more about this, please contact the legislature, and I'll be glad to respond.
State Representative Ed Oliver, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Got some drinking money.